The Macedonian church was committed to distributing the word of God through Paul the Apostle. This is absolutely fascinating. It is a good day to read the Bible. Join us. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. My name is Rod Hembry.
I'm Janice.
And this is Bible Discovery. We are discovering the most important book of all, the Bible. And today, in about 3 minutes' time, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 12 verses here. We're going to look at that in just about 3 minutes. Corey and Ryan are here. Corey?
Well, actually, Mom and I are going to be combining our segments today to have a discussion about 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Ryan?
Well, Paul commends Titus in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and he, of course, was sent to a church on the island of Crete. Now, Crete has a really fascinating history. I want to talk about an artifact that they discovered from there.
That's very fascinating because the Titus is also part of that whole thing. Anyway, all right, very good. Take your Bible guide and let's study God's word and listen to what the Lord says.
Second Corinthians 8, 1 through 12. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. So we urged Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace in you as well. But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. And in this I give advice. It is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago, but now you also must complete the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to desire it, so there also may be a completion out of what you have. For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has and not according to what he does not have. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 12.
A lot of people ask the question, what do you have? Thinking that they're going to assess you or the value of your person based on what you have. But let me talk to you about this for a minute, because this is really important. When you dream about your future with Jesus Christ, it should not be limited by what you have. It should be based on your faith that God desires us to build in his kingdom well. What I mean by that, what does it say? Well, faith or trust in God is essential to the Christian life. Now, Paul the Apostle spoke to the Corinthian church to encourage them, and he explained and expressed that the churches in Macedonia had very little in terms of possessions, and yet they wanted to give to parts of the church that were worse off than themselves. Now, think about that. Think about that. Their heart was in sharing the provision of God rather than fearing that God would not continue to provide for them in their physical time of stress. They trusted in him to continue providing for their own needs. Now, that's amazing. Now, this trust allowed them to share what they could, however small. God provides, beloved. And we can all share for the work of Christ no matter what we have. The churches in Macedonia were going through difficult testing. They were not wealthy people, and yet they were generous. They desired to mimic Christ in the best way they could. Now, this was an example to the Corinthians, and it is actually an example for us today. Now, this is really important because Paul talks to the Corinthian church this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We're going to look at verses 1 through 12. It is very interesting. So what I'd like you to do is take your Bible guide and turn to it. Now, the Bible guide, you can get it by writing to us or calling us or going to BibleDiscoveryTV.com. Just simply remember that it does cost us resources to produce that and send it to you. Nevertheless, if you write for yours or go to BibleDiscoveryTV.com, click on it. It will take you to a place where you can donate and you can download it exactly like we printed it. Very, very important. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of your Holy Spirit, take these words, which are your words, and make them mean to our heart what you desire them to mean. Holy Spirit, we are open to you speaking to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, what I've done is read the scripture here, 12 verses, and isolated the 3 points. Now, there may be other things the Holy Spirit speaks to you, but I was trying to capture what this means. So let's go to verse 1 of chapter 8. It says, "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability," according to their ability, yes, "and even beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of ministering to the saints." Now, this is absolutely stunning. Look at this. The Macedonian church was willing to give, firmly establishing God's work. Now, beloved, we give because God's word needs to be heard. We don't give because we have billions of dollars we can give away, but we understand that every amount that we give in volunteer time, in time of study, and especially in times of giving and resources, whatever we have, God calls us to give. Now, there's giving and there's tithing, and of course, all of that. We tithe regularly 10%. But giving as well. We need to think about that. So let's understand here that what was important to the Macedonian church was the communication of God's word. They said to Paul, "Paul, you need to go tell people about this thing that has happened to you, that Jesus Christ is real, that he's described in the scripture, that he's presented in the Hebrew Bible, and you need to explain this to people." So we have much to thank, many people to thank. Now, a lot of people want to meet people and all of that in heaven. I want to get to the Macedonian church and I want to hug them because of them, we have these scriptures in 2 Corinthians. Very good. All right. We go on to verse 5. "And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave," this is important, "but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God." Now keep that in mind. Not their own will, but the will of God. Verse 6. "So we urge Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace in you as well. But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also." Here's my second point. Paul encourages the church at Corinth to take on missions. That is so important. God's missions work always begins when God's people learn to give. when we learn to give. A lot of places, they haven't learned to give. When we learn to give to other sources, we give to God's work, it ends up coming back to us. That's the truth, beloved. May we learn to give today. Now, look at verse 8. This is interesting, the last four verses here. I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, listen to this, yet for your sakes he became poor. He was rich, but for your sakes he became poor, so that through his poverty, might become rich. And in this I give advice. It is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago, but now also be complete in the doing of it. In other words, finish it, that as there was a readiness to desire it, so there may also be a completion out of what you have. For if there is first a willing mind, it is acceptable according to what one has. Not according to what he does not have. Now, this is important. We give according to what God has given us. The Corinthians hear that they should willingly give as they have received, not according to what they do not have. We should follow the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we should give. Beloved, keep in mind that as God gives to us, we should give. But we don't give what we don't have. Now, there's a lot of messages on faith here, and we'll talk about that over the next few days. But it's very important to remember that.
All right, well, it's time now to carry on with our Bible study, and we're reading 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. Now, Paul commends Titus in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and Titus, of course, was sent to a church on the island of Crete. Now, Crete is really fascinating. It was home to the ancient Minoans, who were really known for their technological savvy. Now, they were really ahead of their time with technology, and I want to look at one of the artifacts that they left behind. Since excavations first began back in 1899, many startling discoveries have been made on the Mediterranean island of Crete. Indeed, though Crete was once home to the Minoans, an ancient civilization dating to between 2150 and 1450 BC, many of their technological innovations were way ahead of their time. For example, the Minoans were master builders, and their very large palaces often contained technological features which rivaled that of the Romans some 1,400 to 2,000 years later. Some of these features included running water, drainage systems, toilets, and baths. Also found among these ruins were various high-quality artifacts made of elements such as rock crystal, ivory, gold, and clay, which clearly display the wealth, craftsmanship, and artistry of the Minoans. One of the most mysterious of these relics was discovered among some pottery at the Minoan Palace of Phaistos in Crete in the early 1900s. Dubbed the Phaistos disc, it is a small circular clay disc, roughly 16.5 centimeters across and 1 centimeter thick, that has been impressed on both sides with pictograms and symbols resembling hieroglyphics. This artifact is quite unique because, unlike other Minoan clay tablets, which were left unbaked, this disc was deliberately fired, which gave permanency to the symbols contained on it. Also interesting is that these mysterious and indecipherable symbols are arranged in a line that spirals in clockwise from the outer edge of the disc to the center, or perhaps the other way around. And although there are 241 characters on the disc, many are repeated, so that only 45 different glyphs or symbols are present.
Yet the most remarkable feature of the Physis disk is the fact that the various signs are identical each time they occur. This means that these symbols were not carved by hand. Rather, stamps carved from wood or cast in metal must have been used to print the symbols into the clay, which would make this the world's earliest example of movable type. Indeed, the Physis disk is dated to approximately 1700 BC, and if correct, then the Minoans were 2,500 years ahead of the Chinese, who reinvented movable type in the 9th century AD. The Minoan civilization is very much out of place within evolutionary history. Such an ancient culture could not have been evolved enough to accomplish such great technological feats. Ancient people such as these are a reminder that mankind indeed was created fully formed and intelligent from the beginning, just as the Bible proclaims.
You know, as we study ancient relics from the past like this, it becomes really, really clear that ancient peoples were not less evolved, as pop science teaches, right? They were intelligent human beings created in the image of God, just like the Bible says. And, you know, artifacts like these contradict the evolutionary story, which is why they've been dubbed out of place artifacts. Now, we don't have time to go into it today, but if you'd like, we have produced a 2-hour documentary on the subject called 30 Out of Place Artifacts. So I would recommend that you check that out.
Yeah, and you can get that on our website or it's on our website.
It is, yeah. Or you can call in or you can write and ask for it.
And you go there, click resources. I want to mention something before we go any further, and I want to encourage you on this November the 12th that get signed up for the Bible Guides. The Bible Guides are going to be all new next year. They're new every month. And you'll get 12 guides, and if you sign up for it now, you will not miss the January guide. So that's very, very important.
And when you say you'll get 12 guides, that means one every month, not the whole 12 all together.
New material every month as we study through the Bible. It's just absolutely amazing. You know, we go through this every year and you learn so much. And I continue, my learning level goes more, and I learn how much I don't know. So it's really good. So get signed up for the Bible Guide. Really, really important. All right, Corey, you're up.
All right. Well, Mom, today, you know, you and I were taking a look at our reading from 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. And we were talking about how these chapters really do kind of give us a reset on our thinking when it comes to finances.
Yes.
Because the message that we see Paul giving to the Corinthian church in 8 and 9 is not always what we see reflected in contemporary Christianity.
Mm-hmm. That's right? Very true. Yes.
So, like, when we see here that I think it's really interesting that Paul calls the gift, the financial gift from the churches of Macedonia, the grace of God. And because grace is undeserved, it's unworked for.
Yes.
So this Macedonian church, which represented several different cities, Paul says in 8 verse 2, "For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord." Because they saw this need in the church. And we learn from Acts there is a famine going on in the Jerusalem area church. Mm-hmm. They see a need. And they want to give. And it's not that they're repaying a favor of some sort to the Jerusalem church. They're like, no, God has supplied our need, and we will now give out of what we can. Even though the world would have looked at them and gone, what are you doing? You don't have very much. You should not be giving at all. You should be saving it up and putting it into a retirement savings account or something, you know, like, but I think it's really interesting because then when we jump down into 2 Corinthians 8 verse 15, Paul appeals back to the time when Israel was in the wilderness and God provided manna for the people. And he says this, "As it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack." So Paul's appealing to this godly contentment, this don't buy into this, I need more, 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 more. And don't be afraid that you're not going to have enough either. Trust God and learn to be content in all circumstances, just as Paul had.
Exactly. Yes. And you know, when you're talking about that, it's not like hoarding.
Right.
Well, I have to keep this because what if this happens? Or I need to, now I'm not saying that you don't need to not be wise.
Right.
But there is a trust mm-hmm. that comes with God and knowing when your gifts are something that is eternal.
Right.
And that makes a difference. Now, all of a sudden, my little, I can do with a little bit less if I know that it's benefiting someone else. Mm-hmm. And when you have lived in that, I find that your heart becomes softer and you become that, it's not a forced decision. Well, I have to give this. It becomes something that's actually joyful. It's cheerful because you know that you're helping. And Paul talks about that.
He does.
In 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7, he says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let us each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly mm-hmm. or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." And now, sometimes this verse has been used and twisted out of context. Mm-hmm. And the question that I would have was, why do we give? Mm-hmm. Do we give so that we can get back?
Right.
And I think, you know, there has been teaching that that's the only reason that you would give is because if you give, well, then God will bless you. And that's true. God does bless, mm-hmm. but it's not in the same way that we would think.
It's not like a financial investment right. where you're like, okay, God, I'm giving you this money so that you can multiply it and give it back to me.
Yeah.
That's self-seeking.
Very much
in
so.
That. This is multiplying the grace that God has given to us. You know, we recognize that God has given us all things. And so we decide, like Paul said there, we decide in our heart what to give and we give it cheerfully. And it's not out of compulsion. It's not because we have to. It's mm-hmm. not because we're trying to build our own wealth. It's because we're recognizing with every part of our lives that God is good and he has literally given me my whole life. And now it is my joy, my privilege to give back. And you're right that there has been abuses in this and mm-hmm. it's so easy. And I would just encourage you to, you know, as you're reading through the reading today, really spend some time in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, because it really does, at least in my mind, rebalances this conversation, because there are abuses out there of people who will, you know, set a certain amount. They'll say like, oh, you need to give $1,000 or, oh, you need to give $3,000 and then God will give back. And that's not in line mm-hmm. with what Paul is teaching.
That should be a red flag.
It should actually be a massive red mm-hmm. flag because, you know, Paul says in 8 verse 12, "For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have." So it's not as if, like, Paul recognizes that everyone's coming from different places. Mm-hmm. You have to decide in your own heart what is right for you to give. God doesn't expect you to go into debt to give him offerings. That's not giving out of what God has given you. We give out of what God has supplied. We don't go into debt or like in this time, it would be, you know, selling yourself into slavery to a debtor
right. yes.
in order to do that, to give. So there has to be balance on this issue where, you know, we're not trying to benefit. We're not trying to selfishly give to God, and we're not allowing ourselves to be abused by false teachers or mm-hmm. people who would maybe people who have a good heart, but they've been misled in this where they think they're truly doing the right thing. So I don't want to paint everyone with the same
That's right.
brush,
mm-hmm.
but knowing the scripture helps us to see red flags, regardless of the motivation of the person who's saying something that's false. Mm-hmm. Knowing the scripture helps us identify things that are not true.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that's important about this is to remember that, in fact, we exist in a situation where people give to us freely so that we can live. So in a sense, we live based on their giving. It's not a contract. It's not a business. It's a ministry, and we need to keep that in mind. So there are balances in that. Now, I totally agree with you 100%. There have been people who have taken this down the wrong path all the way. But let's keep in mind that it does take faith to be willing to give your tithe. It takes faith to be willing to give your offerings. But that faith is not in giving until you have nothing. It's giving so that it does sacrifice for you. But at the same time, you have a job, or you have somebody who said, yeah, you come here and work here and I will pay you. So that's important to remember. So we live in a situation right now where people are willing to give to us, and that's great. But we need to keep that in mind, and that's good, Corey. There's several people right now in the industry of television who have preached the wrong thing. We can't do that. And I like what you said about red flags. It's very important.
2 Corinthians 9:15, the ultimate gift. Thanks be to God, Paul says, for his indescribable gift. And that was Jesus. And we can also give. When we give our tithes, we can give our offerings to the work of God. We can give our time in service to the Lord's work. And we can give our time praying for each other.
Today we need to pray, and I want to thank you for joining us as we've studied 2 Corinthians chapter 8. What a great passage of Scripture. Let's pray together. Lord, help us to work hard, to tell the lost about you, and to heal those who are sick. Heal them in the name of Jesus Christ, that mighty name. Thank you, Lord, and we pray in your name all together, all of us do. We pray, Lord, amen, or make it so. Make it happen, Lord. Amen.